Alan Gray made some significant changes to his equity fund fairly recently, which we discussed earlier. It took a long time for it to make, or a lot of consideration certainly, and it did get investors to vote on these changes. One of the changes involved is allowed the fund to invest up to 25% in global equities, having previously had no offshore investments in the fund. What is the equity fund's exposure currently to global equities?
It's currently around 5 or 6%, and so that's obviously up from the last quarter end, and we've been increasing it since the mandate allowed us to do so, and the reason for it is really that we find global equities more attractive in general than South African equities, especially the opportunities that Orbis is able to find globally. And it also provides good diversification for the fund.
Do you expect to increase this to the maximum 25% in the coming year?
I'm not sure about the coming year. We don't have to make that decision immediately. Obviously, in order to increase our foreign exposure, we have to sell South African shares. And we're only going to do so when we think the time is right and the price is right to sell. So we're not in a mad rush, but over time we'll probably get there.
And one of the reasonings for this, you mentioned the opportunities that the Alan Gray Orbis Fund is able to find in global equities. A number of market commentators have been repeating the phrase that our local market is expensive, it's very stretched, and we are in for a correction fairly soon. Are you of that view?
Well, it worries me that so many people say it, because the market has a habit of proving the majority of people wrong. I think the one curveball that could come in South Africa is to do with the value of the rand. So remember that a big chunk of our market is actually multinational companies, which account for a large part of the percentage composition of the indices. And because they're multinational companies, they tend to be priced in dollars, and they make big chunks of their profits overseas, and they're priced in dollars. And so if the rand were to be really weak, it might be that the dollar prices fall a bit, but that's more than that made up for by a weak rand. And that's what makes asset allocation for me quite hard in South Africa at the moment, because on the one hand you've got high dollar prices, but on the other hand, I think you've got a currency which is vulnerable in the long term.
On that note, a difficult environment to navigate. The active versus passive debate rages on and probably will continue to forever and a day. Many people arguing that passive investments outperform the majority of active investments in the long term, if for no other reason than that the fees are, of course, much lower, or often much lower. Do you agree? I mean, do you think that this is an environment where active management is needed because it is so volatile, or do you think that most retail investors are better off in a passive investment vehicle?
It's a good question. I think in any environment, stock markets need active investors. If you just take it to an extreme, what kind of stock market would we have where if it was 100% invested in by passive investors? So the contribution that active investors bring is that they bring more efficient pricing to stock markets. They're competing with each other. They're trying to form the most accurate assessment of companies' values that they can. And that is really a service which results in good pricing or efficient pricing for a stock market, which makes it an attractive marketplace for companies to raise capital, etc. And it's sort of a key part of the capitalist system. So I think there's always going to be a role for active managers, and it's a very important role. But in having said that, there's probably a space for passive funds too. The market share of passive funds in South Africa is low compared to some other countries such as the UK and the US. So I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see passive funds continuing to grow in South Africa.
Independent-minded is, of course, Alan Gray's motto, and that's what it has been known for and is perhaps still known for. But can you still be independent-minded when you are as big as Alan Gray is?
Yes. I think
Why?
Very definitely so. I think it's very firmly entrenched in the DNA of the company and the people that work here. But perhaps it's easier to be different from the crowd and maintain your independence when you're not a listed company and you're a privately owned business. You're not subject to sort of quarterly reporting or half-yearly reporting pressures. And you can afford to take a longer-term view than perhaps you know, other people would allow you to do.
Finally, Ian, in this uncertain, volatile environment, what is your message to Allan Gray investors?
Well, I guess the key thing to think about is the amount of risk that you're exposed to and whether you are happy with that level of risk, given that markets have been moving pretty much one way, and that's up over the last 6 years. I think all investors should pause to think whether the exposure to markets which have been trending strongly up is still appropriate, and to consider you know, to what extent they could suffer losses in their current portfolio. So I think that would be it's good to stop and reassess these things every now and again, and that would probably be a good idea now.
Ian Little is Chairman and Chief Investment Officer of Allan Gray.